But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Today we're looking at godliness, and you may be saying, well, what does that have to do with this little skit? We'll get there, just hold on. First of all, we've learned so far in this series that faith is a relationship with God that transforms. It's a relationship where we come to a point where we ask God for forgiveness, and His forgiveness sets us, He builds a relationship or enters into a relationship with us, and we enter into one with Him, and out of that flows transformation. It's not the good things that we do that earn us eternal life, it is God's gift. But we appropriate it in relationship with Him. And that begins a transformation process. That transformation starts with virtue. And we've been talking about that as we've been talking about this spiritual journey. And we put some things in our backpack. The compass, symbolic of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And the map, that is symbolic of God's Word that directs us. And then we built on that, that virtue that flowed from faith, knowledge of God's Word that strengthens faith. And so as we were looking at knowledge, we put a flashlight in our backpack, and the flashlight then reminded us of God's Word, the importance of God's Word to direct us and continue to grow us so that more good things flow. And then we talked about self-control, and we put a survival manual in our pack. Self-control flows from the Spirit, from the Word, and from honest, open-minded willingness. And then we talked about perseverance. And we put water and power bars in our backpack, so we'll be hydrated and energized because the power flows from a determined, habitual connection with the Source, Jesus Christ. And today we're talking about godliness. Godliness that flows from perseverance in seeking God. And that's where we're talking about the fire here. Godliness flows from perseverance in seeking God. And you're going to be wanting to put some matches or a lighter in your backpack today. And we'll give you some of those when you get ready to leave. See, godliness is a lifestyle. We're going to be learning today. Godliness is a lifestyle that is a way of life. It flows from this persistent seeking God. It comes from divine power. Now, what we saw in the skit was different ways that can actually make fire. And each of those ways actually do work. And I've actually seen, when I was in November, I saw in Maasai land, some of the Maasai people start a fire with rubbing a stick together. They did do it. I've seen it happen, so it does happen. I've started fires with a magnifying glass. Some of those methods do work. You can generate fire. Of course, the lighter is a much more efficient way. But when it comes to the things of God, the genuine power of God cannot be duplicated. There is no other way to do it besides the indwelling of the Spirit. We can produce fake fruit. We can have fake fire, but there's no genuine fire without divine power. The creators of this lighter put fuel in here so that when the spark hit, it would burn. So God gives us His Spirit to dwell in us so that we burn with the fire of the power of God. And it comes only from God's dwelling within. And the neat thing is, the exciting thing is, that it's available for every believer. Whether you are weak or whether you are strong, rich or poor, male or female, slave or free, every single person has access to this power. I remember when I was living in Los Angeles many years ago, and I was this was before my introduction to Jesus Christ. And I remember sometimes I would ride the bus to get to work if I didn't have some other form of transportation. And oftentimes the streets would be crowded and the bus driver would just be watching as they would pass the bus stop and didn't necessarily stop at every bus stop unless somebody pulled the cord to be let off or if they saw somebody standing there making a signal. And sometimes there would be some big, burly, weightlifting kind of guy that would be out there, and he'd flag the bus down, and sure enough, the bus would stop. But other times, it could be a little frail old lady that just barely was able to get her hand out there. But the bus driver stopped anyway. See, the bus got the people where they were going. And it didn't make any difference whether a person was a strong person or a weak person, tall or short or whatever. The bus was still the mode of transportation, and all it took was just that inclination toward the bus driver by signaling. And that's what it is in our spiritual life. God will transport us. God will transform us. God will empower us, whether you're weak or strong, as long as you put your energy in the right place. And the energy is in that relationship with God, as we've been talking about. So let's take a look now at godliness. Godliness comes from the word eusebia, in the Greek, which means piety, or translated godliness, as you have in your text. There was misunderstanding about this. The Jewish people, especially the Pharisees, who were a sect of Judaism that was really focused on outward behavior, believed that this meant certain righteous acts, certain kinds of hand washing, certain foods that they would eat and not eat, avoiding contact with certain types of people. They thought if they observed certain rituals and regulations and clothing items and that kind of thing, if they observed these outward acts, that made them pious or godly. But that's really not what the word really means. It is a directional word. It is about the direction of a person's life. First of all, it talks about a direction toward God, which is in worship. That is godliness. When we focus our attention on God and we praise Him and worship Him and put Him first in our thoughts and in our hearts and our minds, that is part of it. But then there is the other side of it too. The other direction is toward others in service and love. And that's where many of the religious people in Jesus' day missed it, as they thought as long as they were doing these things that the law required, that would made them godly. But it did not, because there was the other part that was translated in love and care for others. The word eusebia, godliness, is a balanced word. It is a balanced word. It's a balance between spiritual life and relational life. So I have this personal relationship with God, but it becomes translated into the way I live my life with other people. There is an external relationship with others. And then it is an integrated life between the two. Integrated. In Psalm 78, we find that King David led Israel with a heart of integrity and with hands of skill. Integrity comes from the root word integer, from which we get a whole number. And what this means is that the secret life and the spiritual life and the outward life are all the same. That we're not one way with one group of people and another way with another group of people, and then we do this in private, we do this in public. An integrated life is a person who lives for God and loves other people under any circumstances. And that is only possible with God living in us. It needs a divine power source. See, there are power sources. There are false power sources and there are true power sources. The false power source we find in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. I'd like to invite you to turn to Acts with me. If you go to the New Testament, Matthew, and then this is the fifth book in. You take a right, you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. And in the book of Acts, we find the story of Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John were going into the temple and they were met by a beggar. Well, they came past a beggar because the beggar wasn't moving much. He was lame, couldn't walk, had been there for years. And he was asking for money, and Peter makes this comment. He says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And the man stood to his feet, and he was amazed. He started running around the temple, jumping and leaping and praising God and saying, "Look, I'm healed." And pretty soon a crowd gathers around to see this amazing thing, because everybody had seen this beggar, this lame man, and now he's praising God, and he's just so energized. And so the people gather around, and Peter sees this opportunity, and he talks, and he says, "So when Peter saw it," verse 12, "when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?'" See, that is a false source of power. The people in those days thought that if you do the outward stuff, it didn't make any difference what was going on in your heart. As long as you did all these outward things, then that was pleasing to God somehow. And he says, no. It is not my own power. This wasn't something that John and I cooked up. We weren't rubbing sticks together. There's some power here that comes from an outside source. It's not outward behavior. It is not programs. You can't program spiritual life. Well, what do I mean by that? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 together. I have it for you on the screen. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, rash, conceited, lovers than lovers of God, having a form who it would be empty." All program to work with in your God would make it totally empty. A person could fill that journal out and have no connection with God and miss the whole point. And that's what it's saying, is that there will be people in the last days that will go through the motions and miss the whole point. There will be no real power in them. So there are false power sources that we can drum up with our own energy and effort. But then there is a true source. Notice what it says in Acts 3, verse 16, as Peter is talking and continues. He says, in verse 16, it says, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So what he's saying here is that it is Jesus' name that is the power source. In fact, if you just look over at 4, verse 13, as the disciples were brought before the religious leaders to give an answer, they gave such an eloquent answer that these religious leaders were blown away. And they noticed in verse 13 it says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." These men had something dynamic and powerful flowing up from in them because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. We find also that this power source comes from the Holy Spirit. We read it in verse 4:29. In chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. In fact, we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told them that the power source was going to be the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The word for power in the original language is the word dunamis, from which we get dynamite. There's going to be an internal explosion in you as you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take over. There is going to be dynamic power. There's going to be real fire flowing from a real fuel source within you as the Holy Spirit comes in. And finally, the Word. the Scriptures. There is power in the Word of God. If it's taken for a personal relationship, just going through the motions of memorizing Bible text doesn't help unless it's done for the purpose of connection with God. But done for with purpose of connection with God, it is powerful. Notice what 1 Timothy 4 says, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, and you can read it along on the screen. It says, "You have been raised on the message of the faith and have followed sound teaching." That's referring to the Scriptures there, the Bible. "Now pass on this counsel to Christians there, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart." Making spiritual training your priority for the purpose of connecting with the power source is what a godly life is all about. And that's where the power comes from. That's where transformation comes from. That's where the joy comes from. That's where everything flows from. And so what I want to say to you today is, and what we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at today is, what are going to be the natural results of the person who is putting their energies in the right place? See, it's not strong people that grow in relationship with God. It's people who realize their weakness and stay connected with Jesus. Stay connected. That's where it happens. And so what's going to happen? Well, we find, first of all, the results of a connected life will be these. First, there will be the fruit of the Spirit. And we've talked about this in each of our messages in this series. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control." These are the things that will happen. Are you connected with God? Are you focusing on your relationship with Him? If that's what's happening, these things will flow. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will materialize. So you can know that godliness is going to start flowing out of you. It will happen. And we all get kind of discouraged along the way when we see daily mess-ups or daily failures. Those things do happen as well. But there is a trend toward fruitfulness, and that will take place in your life. I've asked Judy Willison if she'd come up and just share briefly what's happened with her life as she started making this relationship a priority. So,
well, I have to tell you, I had nothing that I could say because it was Pastor Greg gave me a 5-minute thing, and you all should be like, "Oh, thank God, thank God." But what happened was yesterday, God gave me something through an email, and it was an email that I was asking a friend if she would pray for me, and this is how it goes, because I was. I didn't have anything to share with you that I thought was anything that was worth actually saying. But this is how the email goes. "Hi, so-and-so." Okay. "Tomorrow I have to give my 5-minute testimony about how God has grown me since seeking Him out daily. My heart is saying, be truthful and tell the congregation that it was through brokenness. But the stupid nursery rhyme keeps playing in my head. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I fell and I fell hard. I was a mess. And nobody, not Brian, not my friend Val, not a counselor, could put me back together again. I had no choice but to cry out to the Lord and yell at Him, him destroying my dreams. He was supposed to bless me, and all He did was give me pain. Why would my Father want me to suffer? It was at this time of my deepest despair that I realized that God used my shattered dreams to get me to admit that all I needed was Him. That my brokenness was the truest of blessings, because I had to be totally dependent on Him, not my family or my friends. I was discovering a true hope. My pain had a purpose, God's purpose, a higher purpose, knowing Him better and loving Him above everything else, learning to trust Him no matter what. That's why it's easy for me to sit and study the Word of God or take time to pray, believing He is the God that answers prayers. That's why I don't mind interruptions within my day to speak a word of encouragement or breathe some fresh word from God upon His children. This is why I love being at church and raising my hands to the sky and asking Him to humble me and teach me Thy ways. This is why I want to serve Him without expecting in return. This is why I want to passionately seek Him. Before I experienced brokenness, I felt like life was good and it was all about my needs. But God's changed that paradigm for me. He wants my brokenness to help me encounter Him, receive His highest blessings, and allow Him to infiltrate every part of my life. Guess what I just did? I just wrote out what I needed to say. Thank you, God. I'm glad I got to share it with you.
Thank you, Judy. See, sometimes when circumstances get to the point where everything's crumbling, it's those circumstances that are actually driving you. God is allowing things to drive you to the real power source. If you're at the point where you say, I feel like I need to give up, I'm at the end of my rope, good. Because that's where the source really comes into play. As long as I thought that I could perform, then it was me generating the power. And my power did nothing. And that's what Judy was sharing. As long as it was her trying and trying to get her needs met from other sources, to be effective through the wrong power sources, there was no fruit. Now we get to hear lots of stories of how God continues to use her in her place of work and other places because the power source is flowing. So if you're in one of those situations where you feel like everything's crumbling and it's all falling apart, you might want to stop and say, wait a minute. Who am I depending on here? Who's really calling the shots? Where is the power coming from? And if you've been plugged into the wrong source, unplug and plug into Jesus. Another result of the connected life, the first one is the fruit of the Spirit. The next one is an ability to handle crisis. An ability to handle crisis. When we come into relationship with God and His Spirit flows through us, there is a supernatural power to handle difficulties that we did not have before. Doesn't mean we do it perfect all the time. We may mess up, we may fail, we may lose our cool in traffic or whatever else it is. We may be seen at work as one who is falling apart sometimes. We are not perfect, but we are forgiven. And when we extend forgiveness, when we respond with grace, when we apologize, people are watching. We may not even really realize it, but they are watching. And God is doing something. And there is something that's going on inside that is preparing us for whatever crisis may be ahead. Truth of the matter is, none of us are going to get through this life unscathed. The death rate still hovers right around 100%. We all die. So we're going to all have to face it somewhere along the line. Suffering is universal. Misery is optional. We are all going to suffer. We are going to encounter crises. There will be times when our marriage faces crisis, when our relationships and friendships go into crisis. There will be times when we face financial crises. Whatever it is, things are going to happen. Christians are not immune. But God has a power source for those times. As Brian was mentioning this last week, on Sunday evening, Pastor Brian and myself went down and visited Mike. Mike was sitting right here in the service last week, praising God with all his heart. Little did he know what was going to happen in those next few hours. He fell out of a tree and off the ladder, out of a tree, and broke 7 ribs, broke his shoulder, shattered vertebrae number 12. It looked like possible paralysis because he was not able to move his legs. Some good news is that there is some limited motion, and there is some feeling in his feet and so on. But this was major disaster. And when we saw him, he was just, the reality was just kind of just sinking in. And the family was gathered there. We saw him in the trauma unit. As soon as he saw us, you know, may God's name be praised. This is in the middle of a tremendously shattering, family-shattering, life-shattering kind of disaster. And he says, you know, he says, I know what God has planned. But I know this, that I want God to use it for good. Because he promises he'll use it for good for those who love him, so I'm going to trust him for that. And he says, you know, he says, I have some family members that really don't walk with the Lord, and I'm just praying that some of them will come to know Jesus through this. And they'll see that what Jesus does for me in getting me through base. I'm just praying God will use it. Whatever God wants to do, I just want to ask God to do it. We had an opportunity to go back again during the week and talk some more. He says, you know, God has given me supernatural peace. And he says, of course I want to be healed. Of course I want to be back with all my full strength and more. He says, I want all that. But if that is not in the plans, I want to just walk in peace, and I want to walk in relationship with the Lord, and I want my life to count for the purposes of God. I mean, this was supernatural going on. See, that's on in you when you are cultivated of handling it. Or suddenly there's none of us are perfect. None of us do it all right. But we can have a mindset that God is my focus, and I'm going to allow God to flow through me in love to other people. And when we have that kind of a mindset, God's going to use us. He's going to bear fruit in us. He's going to give us the ability to handle crisis that we would not have any other way. And even more than that, God is going to give us a life of influence. You may feel like you're blundering. You may feel like you're blowing it here and there because of your humanness. All of us struggle. But there is a genuineness that flows through a genuine Christian, whether you know it or not. Because the Holy Spirit is doing a work on that daily basis. He's bringing things to mind. He's helping us respond in grace daily. He's preparing us. And he's doing something, and the world that's watching is taking notice. And what happens is, when that time is right, when it is needed that a person gets to see what a Christian life is all about, when a person needs to know how to make the kinds of decisions they need to make to connect with God, they will remember you. They will remember those of us who have walked with the Lord. They will know there's somebody that has something that I need. This last week, the sentencing phase for Bobby Cutts Jr. Some of you have probably followed the news story. He's the police officer who was a married man, had children, but he also had been running around with some other women and gotten several other girls pregnant. One of them had had a child by him, and then she was pregnant again with another child. And he decided that he was going to get rid of the child support liability, and he murdered her. She was pregnant, and dumped her in the woods. The 2-year-old saw it, and when the mother-in-law showed up, I don't call it mother-in-law, I guess, but the mother of the girl who was pregnant showed up. The little 2-year-old said, "Mommy's in the rug." It was a horrible crime, and he was convicted, and he was sentenced this last week to life in prison with no possibility of parole for 57 years. But at his sentencing hearing, here's what the mother said, the mother of the girl who was killed. I want you to just pay attention to this.
The child officer Cutts left a lot behind, alone in the house, to fend for himself as Cutts dragged the child's dead mother from the house, only to dump her in a field. After the jury made its recommendation of life in prison, Jesse Davis's mother spoke.
I never in my heart wanted to believe you could have hurt her, but in my soul I knew you had. I remember pulling into the driveway the next day and asking God, where is my daughter? And he said, she's with me and she's fine. And I made up my mind that day that whoever did that, I would forgive them, because I never wanted to allow that kind of hatred into my life. I would have never been able to raise Blake and hate you. And I've written a lot of things here. None of them seem to make any sense. None of this makes sense. There's mornings I have to cover her picture up or I can't get out of the bed. And, Your Honor, I may not have a family to go home to after this, but I pray that you make a way for this man to someday be able to get out of there and begin a new life. And to hold his son, maybe as a man, and I hope you pray that I'm able to raise him to forgive you. He knows what you did. You would not believe the stories he's told us.
The Stark County Prosecutor.
Nobody could come up with that on their own. See, that's someone who's been living in relationship with the Lord for a long, long time. And learning the principles of grace and forgiveness and kindness, living in relationship with God and loving others, that's a godly life. And when the crisis came, suddenly there's this powerful testimony to a divine power source. The commentators spoke after this, and I didn't have time to, we couldn't take time here today to look at all of them. But Greta Van Susteren, whose program it was, is seen nationally and around the world. She said, I personally, she says, have absolutely no pity for this man. But something is absolutely unique about this case. With this woman. She says, I've never seen anything like that. And the different commentators, people who no profession of understanding of God or anything, saying, wow, that is something, that kind of forgiveness is something we can't grasp. And in an instant, a woman who probably wasn't known much anywhere except in that little town, suddenly had her testimony of the greatness of God go around the world and testify to the power of Jesus Christ. So don't ever think that those times alone crying out to God, those times spent in His Word, those times saying, Lord, I really want You to have unrestricted access to my life, don't think it's not counting. God is bearing fruit in you. He is transforming your life to one that honors God. It is bearing fruit whether you see it right now or not. He is preparing you for whatever crises you may face. And He is using your life as a testimony to reach others and still others and still others. That's the good news. And so I just want to leave you with this. Back to that daily power plant. Every day, ask for the Spirit. Say, Lord, fill my lighter. Fill my life with Your Spirit. Fill me, Lord. He will never turn down that request. Secondly, read, study, get into the Word so that it becomes a part of you. Apply it to your life. Thirdly, continue praying for God's direction. Everything is about this continued talking and listening to God, this prayer life. And then trust. Trust that God's goodness is developing in you. Don't worry about it. Trust that this new life is taking place in you. Because He is faithful and He will do it. Now I'd like to invite you, if you would, to just stand and let's just sing this dedication song together before we close.